buddy, end of July, July 31st, my first time ever to Portland, Maine. I'm going to be at the Empire Comedy Club July 31st, August 1st, and August 2nd. Virginia, I'm coming back. Funny Bone in Virginia Beach, Virginia. That is July 18th and 19th. Four shows, dansoder.com. Phoenix, Arizona, September 5th and 6th. Monsoon season will hit. It'll be nice and cool down at night. So come on out to Stand Up Live, September 5th and 6th for four shows, dansoder.com. Go get your tickets. See you there. Los Angeles, September 25th, the United Theater. Wilmington, North Carolina. I haven't been back to Dead Crow Comedy Club in years. There's been some storms. There's been some floods. There's a new location. Well, guess what, baby? In August, I will see you, Wilmington, at the Dead Crow Comedy Club. I'm going to be there August 14th, 15th, and 16th. Five shows, Dead Crow Comedy Club. What a great club. I'm very excited to come back. Dansoder.com for tickets. How else can I entice you? You don't want to see me with my shirt off. That's gross. How about just a good show? How about I promise you a good show? I'll see you at the Dead Crow.
I'm a massive Knicks fan. And then I was what so stopped? Let down. Well, pain. It was like
that's the best part of sports.
Toxic relationship.
The best part of sports is the pain.
It was too bad.
This is I'm not from San Francisco. My dead father is from there, and I wear a hat with his city on my head
to connect to him.
Just that pain. All sports is pain.
It's pain.
And I just go like, "Daddy," and I put it on.
Do you
like,
see me now? I'm a
so one man show shit. Yeah.
Daddy, do you see me standing here?
No, dude. If we change the name of sports to Daddy Pain, it would make so much more sense. It's just fucking
Daddy Pain. Daddy. We did it.
Anytime you see a sports celebration, it's them going
Daddy.
So that was that's why you left the Knicks because it hurt.
It was too painful, man.
That's the best part.
I was out after that.
That's the stomping on the balls where you're like, oh yes, mistress.
Yeah.
Oh, and then sports because you're a little maggot. Yeah. You go spit in my mouth.
You're right. I should have stuck around, but I just couldn't deal with that. What? It was too much pain in the 90s.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of.
Almost. Every time, almost. Pump fakes. Charles.
Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
Pump fakes. John Starks.
The pump fake was Charles.
Oakley?
No.
It sucks when sports goes bad. It sucks. But that's why you stick around.
Yeah. This is the best thing about ChatGPT is to go, who was Nick who got blocked repeatedly?
I like that you're pro ChatGPT.
I'm pro it, man. What are you, robophobic?
Yeah.
What are you, robophobic?
I'm a robophobe. I'm a robophobe. I'm a big time robophobe. I'm going to stay. I know they're recording me right now and they have all my info in ones and zeros.
Privacy's over.
Oh, well, privacy been over since MySpace.
Charles Smith.
You know what? I'm noticing you're talking about privacy.
Yeah.
Is it me or paparazzi has taken a hit? No one gives a shit about paparazzi.
Paparazzi. Yeah, they're it's robots and comedians. That's what we should roll.
Yeah. It's robots. Oh, we've been rolling.
Oh, we're rolling?
Oh, Daddy Pain.
Oh, yeah. Daddy.
Daddy Pain is on there.
Dude.
You think we're going to let Daddy Pain be a B-side?
Thank you. Yeah.
Every time I put on my hat.
Is whores, robots, comedians. Comedians are journalists. Comedians are fucking.
It's hilarious.
Big piece. Comedians are fucking. We're doing it all.
Just watching whenever. One time I did bar four and I brought a girl that I was trying to date.
Yeah.
And I wore my glasses. This is before I got LASIK.
You told this story in the last time I was on
it. It just makes me laugh every time because that's the same energy that all comics have now. Yeah. Is that we're like, sit down for the one on one.
What's going on?
What's really going
on? I didn't know if you were going to have me on here because I'm not running for an elected position.
I mean, I would prefer if you did.
Yeah.
Let's announce it together.
Hey, guys, I'm running for City Council. My name's Giannis Pappas.
Me and Sagalo were doing like the hard hitting, the people who really run the city, you know, being like here at the Pipe Fitters Union.
Are you talking about the Jews?
Well,
I'm just trying to be current.
I was
trying to get into the zeitgeist.
I'm going a layer up. I was going with the. I was going with the Italians.
Oh, the Italians. Yeah, yeah.
Who think they run the city, but they're being controlled by the gays.
Havanagila. No, I'm joking. I don't believe.
Your apology was Jewish.
Sorry, I'm just saying.
Listen, yeah. I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry, I apologize.
I was making fun of the Jews.
I didn't mean it.
And now I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Dude, yeah, that's also the biggest thing is comics think that we can be everything, but we're also giant pussies.
Yeah.
We don't. Rappers want the smoke.
Yeah, we don't want that smoke.
Everyone goes, oh, but I like him.
No, yeah.
But I like him.
Yeah.
But dude,
but seriously, he's a good guy. But no, I like it.
Sport pain is the best pain. So I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan again, and it hurt. But it, you know, it's like I'm back in, but it's a total bandwagon. So I feel ashamed.
No,
I feel ashamed. It's a bandwagon jump.
But saying you're a bandwagon fan does more for you with sports fans than anything.
It's like
admitting to skateboarders you don't know how to. You're like, I'm a poser, and they go like, I'll teach you how to ollie.
Well, I'm going to admit something on this podcast, and judge me if you want, and if you just judge me, whatever. The truth is, I started rooting for teams that had at least one white guy on the team. I don't know why that happened. I'm not a racist.
Let's be very honest.
I don't know why that happened.
Because it's the same reason why you
underdog
don't,
stuff, I think.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But it's also the same reason why you don't watch a black guy in a porno.
Right.
Because you're not... Unless you're super into that.
Because you're thinking, maybe I could have done what John Stockton did. I could have done what Jeff Hornacek did.
I know I can't pound ass like Johnny Sins. Right. But just the thought that I'd be in the room, it's why this is the whole argument for the Black Panther franchise.
Right.
Little black kids need a superhero to look forward to.
Right, right.
You need a Slavic power forward.
Or John Stockton at the time.
I went to the Jazz.
Yeah, I went.
Kids now have Euro white. Yeah. I feel bad. They're not getting all American. Don't take the vaccine. White.
Until we got Cooper Flag.
I think he's
double white. He's from Maine.
Oh yeah.
His name is Cooper. He's from Maine.
Oh my God.
And his name's Cooper.
We're gonna find out he was made in a lab by Miracle Whip.
It might have been.
They're
like
we're gonna make the whitest thing possible.
They might have just been watching the finals and said, "We've had enough of this."
They go, "What is all the hopping and the jumping?
We've just had enough,
Cooper.
We need, one."
He still looks like a little boy, though.
He does, but
he looks like he runs up and is asking if he can have a soda after he played a game. He's like, "Can you see me play? I scored 32. Wait, can I have a soda?" And he drinks it with both hands. Yeah.
But he is like 18. He's like,
dude,
he's
like dog, 17, he did 18. One. I think yeah. he did 1 year.
He did
Duke.
1 year. Yeah, and he came in at 17.
He came in at 17.
So I think he's legit 18. But when they played with,
he's not ready for an NBA hoes.
Dude, he's not ready for the hoes, but he's ready for the comp. When they played the Olympic team, he was killing them.
He ain't ready for them hoes.
He ain't ready for them hoes.
Those hoes are going to rip Cooper Flag apart. He's going to be quartered and fucking, they're going to pull him apart with horses.
Imagine it just all falls apart just because of the hoes.
Just a big booty.
Yeah.
He's never had a big booty Latina. He's from Maine. He doesn't even know that exists.
Yeah, he's just like, people are fishing.
It's like when you give a little kid soda for the first time. Yeah. You're like,
yeah.
You know when they do like the face and then they like it?
And then the second sip, they're like,
he's like, oh, I'm fucking lost.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
He's like, yo, I'm not Cooper. I'm Coop.
Coop, call me Coop from now on. Call me Coop.
He's got two fucking big Dominican ladies.
Fur coat, chain.
She's like, this is not Poppy.
Yeah.
And he's like, sorry, did
gold
it to
tooth
him again.
Right there.
He's just addicted to fucking.
Yeah.
He's just like, I can't stop fucking.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened to that BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson? He's on the Dolphins now. He was drafted by the Jets. He was super good looking.
Yeah.
And then they found out this dude's just running through pussy.
Yeah.
And then the NFL, pro sports, very bad to be a sex addict in.
It's tough, but you know what should be able to keep it in check is knowing that social media is out there.
Dude,
I mean, Brett Favre has a whole documentary about a dick pic.
It's a dick pic. Like, that would have been in the news. I feel this is the only time I'll ever say, as a 49er fan, the only time I'll ever feel bad for Brett Favre. Yeah. That dick pic thing would have been a story for a Tuesday in 2025.
Yes.
And they're doing a five-parter on it.
That's what I felt, too. I'm going like, dude, give me this documentary 5 years ago. You want me to care about this now? First of all, he's retired. Second of all, we're like this close to World War III. I'm not going, Brett Favre is
a guy with brain damage is trying to show his dick.
I mean, they're burning Wazo cars in Los Angeles, and you want me to care about Brett Favre's penis?
And also, you have a special needs brother. You know, the more damage to your brain, the more you like playing with your dink. So of course he fucking, of course he's showing it. Yes. It's like that. That was actually in the world of being mentally handicapped.
Yeah,
that was a nice move. He was going, yeah, this is my dink. Yeah. This is what I play with all the time. And then she went, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
That sucks. To have a documentary, talk about a miss of a dick pic.
And I heard that chick's doing comedy now.
She has been for a while.
So she's been, I mean.
One time she went up after me at Gotham.
Is she funny? Okay. We're communicating telepathically. And what I can gather from that is she's mid.
Oh my God, I would wish for that. I mean, if you're Brett Favre, you're like, damn, that's the one interception I wish I could get back.
Yeah, yeah.
He just threw that downfield.
Didn't he send a soft DP too?
Dog.
I hate to make Pimp do this.
Can you look it up? Because also, I remember it being a little weird looking.
Yeah, and that is a CTE move. To forget to chub it up before you send it.
Also, to dress it a little.
Yeah.
Make it. This is what were those pictures at the mall where everything looked like through a filter? Those, you know, like
I didn't grow up with mall culture.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
What are those called? People are screaming at the I know they're screaming at the screen right now. Glamour shots. You don't know glamour shots?
Oh, you mean like
back in the 80s and 90s.
At like Siemens or one of those.
Or you go Sears or whatever. Sears, you know, JCPenney.
Yeah,
And they just do a filter. It was before filters.
Yeah.
They could put a filter on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either that is CTE or the height of arrogance to just throw out a soft pick.
Oh, my God. Down into the right?
Yeah. I mean, if that's hard, I mean, Jesus Christ.
That ain't
hard.
It looks like it's taking some hits, though.
No, yeah.
Damn.
And
if you're a Packer fan and you're watching this, you're like, get it off the damn screen. Everybody has a bad day. Stop it. Brett Favre brought us a Super Bowl in 1996. You leave that boy alone. I don't care if he rips off the blacks in Mississippi.
I love how he's just presenting the dick.
He goes, ta-da. Dude, you got to work that thing up, brother.
You got to get a good angle, dude.
Dude, you have to have it ready to
go. You don't just snap one off and send it. When you send a dick pic.
It's like bodybuilders when they pump.
Yeah, you got to fucking do 10 push-ups before you open the door. Yeah.
I need to see your pump process before you're out here displaying it.
When you send a dick pic, you got to be like a girl with her girlfriends taking a picture somewhere at a restaurant where you got to take 20 shots. That just looked like one snap and send.
Yeah, that was how he read defenses a lot of the times.
That's a good point.
He'd just go like.
He did throw it up there.
He's down there.
Yeah. Intercept. Fuck!
Well, they'll tackle him.
Yeah,
I mean
that is true. Good point.
Yeah,
well, it's just how his mind works. Yeah,
it's just how he just fires, dude. That's what made him a Hall of Famer.
It's actually fucking. If that joke was told at the time that this happened, I mean that would have been like the most viral moment. That is so funny.
I bet you could find that on Twitter. I bet someone had that back when Twitter was when it worked.
Maybe back before
Before the ketamine lord melted down.
I think we would have heard that one because there was a lot of jokes floating around. Everyone was just talking about how small his dick was.
Nah, man.
But nobody talked about how he just fucking fires it. Yeah.
Take a read.
Yeah.
Just check fucking, down, my friend.
He just closes his eyes.
He's like,
there you go, daddy.
That was, though, say what you will. I know, Brett Favre might not be a good dude, but man, the Monday Night Football game after his dad died and he went out against the Raiders and threw like fucking three and was just doing that. It was just like, I'm throwing it to you, daddy.
Daddy, do you see me, daddy?
Daddy Payne.
Daddy Payne.
Daddy Payne.
Daddy.
Dude, sports suck for that reason. When it hurts, it hurts. Were you super bummed when they lost to the Pacers, even as a bandwagon fan?
No, because I'm emotionally not all in yet.
Oh, you're like a stripper.
I got one foot. Yeah, as a stripper, yeah.
Song's over.
Song's over, baby.
I'm sorry. Who are you? I'm at the job.
Yeah, my friends are all fucking in the dumps. Verzi's in the dump.
He's a Knicks first.
Verzi's in the dumps.
Yeah.
And I got to pretend like I'm more hurt than I am. Because he's such a Knicks fan, he like I wanted to watch all the games with him because we, you know, we're friends. And I was like,
and you guys live close?
Yeah, we live close. So I was like, can I come over? And he was real trepidatious with me because he knew that I wasn't, he only wanted to be with Knick fans. And him and his son are crazy. So I had to kind of pretend to be more into it than I was.
Yeah, he's like,
so I went over there and I was going like, damn. But I was really just enjoying the game.
Oh, nuts.
Yeah.
Is that Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah.
Is Chalamet?
Yeah.
That close?
Yeah.
Kendall's doing something different with her hair. Yeah. And Versi's like, you don't understand, bro. It's the fucking Pacers.
Yeah.
And you're like,
he just keeps going, fucking Cat. Cat can't play fucking perimeter.
SEC.
Yeah.
Dude,
but I'm in.
You know what
it
is? He was like an old head in a gang. And he had to give that conversation where he's like, you ain't about this life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't have that talk with you. He's like, stay in school.
Yeah.
Young brother.
Yeah.
You're making us believe
yeah.
in the community.
This
and you're
ain't
like,
for you. This ain't for you.
Yeah, it's that conversation.
Telling you. You ain't built it. Like, you ain't built for this.
Nah, man. Yeah. I love ragging and doing hood rat shit. And he's like, nah, young brother. Your weapon is your mind. That talk with you. And you're like, okay, I get it. Because, dude, people want to watch 49er games with me. And I'm like, yeah, it's just, sorry. It's too much.
Yeah. I know how it is when you're a diehard fan.
Yeah, it's just too much.
It's
emotional.
Yeah, I'm that way about the Giants and the Yankees.
Okay.
So I'm still about that with the Giants and the Yankees. And the Giants has been that pain.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
been a
but
horrible,
when it returns,
horrible pain.
It's acting the return of it. I know some people don't like sports, but we're trying to make this as human as possible.
Yeah. Welcome to Barstool.
I go, and another thing, bro, if you're not fucking hitting your parlays, you're a fucking pussy. When they get good again, it feels like when a family member gets sober. Where you
That's
go
brilliant.
Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. It's the prodigal son.
You go.
It's the prodigal son.
I really fucking missed you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, I know, it was a couple bad years there. And you go, it was really fucking bad.
I kept the nightlight out every night.
Every night.
No, and you return. I kept it.
Do you want me to make?
I didn't change a thing about your room.
Do you want me to make you some buttered noodles? Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah, and then they're good again. Yeah. And then when they get bad after that, it is like a family member falling off the wagon. Yeah. You go, I can't talk to you right now.
Yeah.
That's what you do with the Knicks.
Yeah.
You're like, this hurts too much.
Yeah.
For my own sake, I need to separate.
Yeah, it's just I can't enable this toxic relationship anymore.
Too much daddy pain.
That's what happened to me with the Knicks. It was I was enabling a toxic relationship.
Yes.
It was so painful, so frustrating. And there was a period in Knicks where it was like the GM moves, it was almost like they were trying to lose on purpose.
Yeah.
Like they were going, it started with like Rolando Blackman.
Are you trying to get caught?
I had a joke.
You like leave your phone open
and
it's like sex and you're like, why are you doing this to me?
Dude, it was a point where the Knicks were like the Statue of Liberty. They were like, give us your tired, you're hungry, you're fucking hurt, you're old. I mean, it was like Keith Van Horn, Rolando Blackman, Larry Johnson, that was the first one after his back surgery. It was like,
that wasn't Grandma Ma anymore.
Amari Stoudemire after like he couldn't jump anymore. He still played pretty well, but it was like, It was a terrible period.
It's hard watching your sports team go
and
through.
And then everyone they traded ended up being on a playoff team. You're like, every single ex-Nick that they got rid of ended up being on a fucking playoff team.
Losing is an addiction.
Yeah.
And you watch them get addicted and you go, stop. Change your life around.
Yeah.
But when it's good, baby.
When it's good, it's good. Oh, the two best nights of my life were those Giants victories in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I
literally
tell you,
the two best nights of my life.
Two and you have two daughters.
I got two daughters. Yeah, it's up there.
I
literally
you,
the two best nights of my life.
Two and you have two daughters.
I got two daughters. Yeah, it's up there. I mean,
and you have two people that have been born from your loins.
Yeah, and if someone asked me to trade it, I'd be like,
oh, I just remember that catch that David Tyree catch.
It was like,
see, I would opposite same subject, opposite thing. Going watching the 49ers lose the Super Bowl sucked. It felt like walking in on getting cheated on. You like open the door and you go, no, no, no. And then you just think the whole walk down the staircase, like,
yeah,
the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, yeah. That must have been tough.
Yeah.
It's worse getting closer, I think. And that's what traumatized me about the Knicks.
Did I tell
it was so close.
You know Dan Campbell, the coach for the Lions?
Yeah.
The guy, fucking. He's like, we're eating kneecaps.
I fucking
love him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast. If I have, maybe you can edit it out. But after the 49ers, when they beat the Lions to go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Shane was doing stuff for Bud Light. And he's like, you can stay. I got two beds in my hotel room. You can stay in my hotel room, which is half the battle for the Super Bowl.
I'm just going to say, Shane, buy him a fucking hotel room.
He did. He ended up giving me the hotel room. He ended up getting
him a hotel.
he ended up getting a Bud Light got him a whole other room, which was sick. But and then Michael Che got a Super Bowl ticket through NBC. So Che's a 49ers fan. So we went to the Super Bowl and it was fucking incredible. But then you lose and you're like, why the fuck am I here?
Right. It's like going to a funeral.
And then you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
So it's just like ding 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 ding. Yeah. And you're just like, leave me the fuck alone.
Did you look at a bar and see like a cold Michelob Light and you went, turn around. Yeah, every now and then I get a little bit.
It was like The Shining. Or they're like, we've been waiting for you, Dan. And I go, 12 long years. Give me a Jameson. And they're like, yeah, dude.
What was his name? Carl?
Oh, fuck.
The bartender?
I don't know. His name is different in the book than the movie.
Yeah, I think it was Carl.
Best damn bartender in the entire world right here. Yeah. Dude, it was like going and watching that. Oh, but the reason I tell the story is, so I fly to Vegas, and I land at the airport, and I get off the plane, and Dan Campbell... In Vegas, you go down these giant escalators to go to these trains to go wherever you're going. Yeah. So I come down the escalator. I'm by myself because I got a coffee. And I'm like, is that fucking Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Lions, who the 49ers just beat? I just wanted to walk up to him and go, like, I think you're incredible. Great season. Didn't know what I really was going to say. All I know is that when I got close to him, I could tell him and his wife were in an argument.
Oh, that's so funny.
And you just immediately bail. Because, by the way, it wasn't like a fight. It was like them going, I don't know where the train is. You just know the tone. Where he goes, I've been upset at my wife traveling too. He goes, I don't know. Because if I knew where it was, I wouldn't fucking go down there. And just watching me switch my suitcase. And like, nope.
That would have been funny to watch him switch, though.
Yeah, him like, going like.
He'd be like, fuck it. He's like,
because if I would have known,
thank
your
you.
Sister.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, brother. Thanks. Yeah, anyway, you bitch.
Shut the fuck up. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, hey, appreciate it.
Great seeing you.
Yeah, great seeing you.
Good luck to you guys in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because I said I was going to pick Cynthia up if she wasn't going to fucking call me. Yeah, dude. Having that spill out, because you live in the burbs now.
I live in the country.
So people, when they see you guys, it's always like you're show ready. Like, I feel like in the city, people see you in...
Very funny, yeah.
In, like, I know bad I know situations. Mean, yeah. In the city, you're like, dude, I saw Dan Soder. It looks like he's going rough. And you're like, yeah, I was having a bad day, and I went to walked to buy cereal across the street.
Or you just, when you go to a spot, you just like, you're like, I live right there. I'm just rolling out. I'll roll back. Your hair's all over the place.
I'm laying here watching the X-Files.
Oh, dude, I put cologne on now.
Yeah, you guys all get...
I'm like, I'm going out in the city.
Yeah, you guys get picture. Yeah. You guys get picture ready.
Yeah, yeah.
You, Brittany, the girls, everybody gets like picture ready.
We're going to the city. I know what it's like now to be like a bridge and tunnel guy.
Wow.
Because like, I used to be, everyone makes fun of them. I'm like, look, they go put cologne on, they get ready. I'm like, it's fucking special, dude. They live in New Jersey. They're coming to the city.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they go, we're going to the city tonight.
But then they come here and you just go, I want out.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah.
Everything is tight.
They're like,
everything is so tight here. Yeah.
Too many stores.
Yeah. Well, I wish. I wish there were stores still open. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. My life, it's totally different.
How relaxing.
And I talk about that in the special called Property Owner on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I don't do good at plugs.
No, but it's fine. It's better organically. Yeah.
Click the link down low for down below for Giannis' special.
Yeah, thanks. Click it. It's
out now.
But it's a different thing. Like you come into the city, the things that you were used to in the city.
Do you miss it?
Of course I do. Of course I do.
Do you ever, when you get mad, do you ever bring it up? Do you ever go, you're living in a fucking city. We didn't have to deal with this
shit. Yes, I do. Yeah.
I love suburban anger. Yeah. It's always the life I could have had.
And I also keep an apartment just to fucking.
Oh, yeah.
You got to hold something over their head. You're getting married. You have to hold something over their head. It's got to be a pet to terror and never get your balls snipped.
Yeah.
Ari did it. I don't understand why he did it.
I think I might do it.
Don't do it.
Why?
Because I know you're one of these, like, we love each other, but everything's a power dynamic.
Listen.
Yeah.
Also, heaven forbid anything would ever happen to her.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there and cream pie central, and I'm not trying to fucking be Bob Marley.
Good point. I'm just saying.
Are you kidding me? The only question I go, do you have herpes?
Right.
And they go,
I
don't have herpes. And I go, sick.
Oh, dude. There comes an age where that's not stopping me either.
Yeah, but then
if I'm 55 and some 30-year-old goes, I'm herpes, I'm like, let's spin the wheel.
Yeah, but then I got the Magnolia ending where I'm in a hospital bed and some guy's like, I fucking hate you. And I go, I didn't even know you were alive. My the love of my life passed away tragically, and then I just bagged your mom. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I feel like, so what if someone wants to get snipped? Who gives a fuck?
I'm just saying, well, I get it, right? But I'm sick because he doesn't have kids. If you have a kids in a family, sure. Right? The women know there's a certain thing. They start talking to you a certain way.
Yeah.
Especially if they know you're a good guy. They know you're not going to leave because you love your kids.
Yeah, because right? You are a good person.
You're a good person and you love your kids.
Which, by the way, you do love your kids.
I love my kids.
I really am. I'm doing a bit about this, but I am seriously sick of everyone that has kids going, it's a love you'll never know.
And you'll never know it.
I've seen enough of humanity to know you're lying. That maybe you do. Great.
It's so great, Dan. Let me tell you.
It's a sunrise on your face.
It's a feeling you can't explain unless you've been through it.
And then I fucking meet somebody who goes, my dad fucked me till I was 9. And you go, okay, so that's not a love you'll know. Yeah, that's a love I'll never know that I don't want to fucking know. Yeah. Your kid?
Yeah, it's not universal. It's not a universal
love.
But
everyone acts like it. They go like Bobby Lewis and List on the regs will always be like, it's a love you never know. You go, one of your kids might shoot up a school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got to watch you guys, and we all know who. But then you're going to fucking...
You mean, it's a love you'll never know, like your parents had for you. That's why you're doing comedy?
Oh, yeah. Look at me clowning around. I'm out here verbally showing my asshole once a week just so people come see me live.
Yeah.
Stop with this fucking, it makes everybody... Granted. There are phenomenal. You're a good parent. You love your fucking kids. And I have friends
Dan,
that are.
It's a love you'll never know.
But you know what?
Love's good. Not the word. But no, love good. Doesn't encapsulate what it is.
It's so, and I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
I also can't smell. Why don't you tell me what a bouquet of flowers smells
you
like?
Can't while you're, smell?
No, I lost it during COVID. And it's still fine.
Still gone?
Yeah, I'd have to do exercises. Oh, and those dude. Are gay.
But you know, let's be honest, dude. You lose your smell during COVID. If you're not eating the pussy twice as much.
Yeah, I mean, we should be into shit play
I
by
mean,
now.
Yeah, I mean,
should walk in on me going.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is that? I go, I can't smell nothing.
That would be the benefit for
we
me.
We play chest hair treasures where I put her dump in my chest hair and then I pick out little small pieces.
I get it. If that happened to me and I lost my smell completely, I'd have a nickname by now.
But no.
They'd be calling Yanni the Hippo. I'm fucking in there.
Do you understand he could stay submerged?
Yeah.
He can breathe underwater.
I am fucking a crocodile.
But I don't. That's what she sends me in for the things where she's like, because she has a very sensitive sense of smell.
Right.
And she'll be like, what about you? And I'll be like, you know the scene in Forrest Gump where they give him the two guns and he goes in the hole in Vietnam? That's just me on everything. She's like, can you go do that? I'm like, I'm going. I can't smell nothing.
Picking up dog shit with your hands? Yeah. What?
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 Throwing it at her playfully?
So you have no smell. That means you have no taste.
Very dull.
Holy shit.
I can still taste stuff, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird when I don't like something now, because now I don't trust it. I'm like, do I really taste it? But I can, a lot of hot sauce.
Yeah.
A lot of hot sauce.
Well, things are happening to you that is at least catching up to your look.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you were 20, I met you when you were in your early 20s.
You're 23.
And you looked 50.
Yeah.
And I
lived it.
Because you look like we've talked about this, you look like a frontiersman.
Yeah.
Because genes of a frontiersman.
I didn't use lotion.
Yeah.
And I lived at an altitude and I abused substances.
Yeah. I expect you to have like a shoulder that doesn't work anymore.
Oh,
no
creak.
Smell. Yeah.
Something that goes like, well, I lost the big toe back in the gold rush of 76.
Yeah.
Dude, there was this movie that
it almost looks like you have scar tissue on your eyes. Like you were a fighter. Yeah.
I mean, I do right here.
Yeah.
Because I fell when I was drunk.
You just have a look like you got
attacked by a dog over here.
You've been through some shit. Yeah.
I auditioned for...
Handsome and rugged.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I auditioned for... Well, thank you.
That's a compliment always feels good, doesn't
it's
it?
So
especially
nice.
When you're in a long-term relationship, they feel great. I get none.
Yeah, most men don't want to cheat. Yeah. We just want women to go, I'd fuck you.
Yeah,
and you go,
just say something nice.
I would never cheat on her. Yeah. But thank you.
Just look at you and go, you're a
great
guy. I
could never lose her, but thank you.
Yeah.
I auditioned for this movie Brian Koppelman directed called Solitary Man, or he wrote... About with Michael Douglas, and I went into audition, and it was supposed to be for like a college kid, and I was 23 or 24 at the time, and I went in because Koppelman called me. He's like, "Listen, it's a movie. I don't expect you to get the role. We're buddies. This is a good thing for you to learn how to do is audition in front of a big casting director." So I learned the role. I went in and I did it, and they liked me, And she was like, oh, you know, I want to kind of see him again or whatever. And then I never heard from him. That's like a typical audition. Mm-hmm. But Koppelman, because it's his movie, he called me back and they go, yeah, they said you're way too weathered to play a college kid. And I was maybe a year out of college. And like Sam Elliott was trying to play a fucking Breakfast Club. Yeah. He's like, you want to know what my father told me? Keep smoking. Like, it was wild. It hurt.
Yeah.
I remember where it was. We were playing basketball in Queens.
Yeah.
And they called me and he's like, yeah, they said you look old as shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I was smoking a cigarette. I was like, well, goddamn. Well, goddamn, Brian.
Yeah. Some people just like, yeah, they present older or younger. Yeah.
I like catching up to, it's the way that I see.
I knew you were 21, but I knew what you had been through was 46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when we sat there?
And then you told me your stories and I'm like, oh yeah, this guy's got a couple of boo-boos.
When we were sitting drinking at CB's upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't know if, did I tell the story the last time you were on the podcast? We're sitting at CB's drinking Stella's and whiskey, and I finished my drink and took a shot. I've had to have told the story with you on a podcast before because it's such a big moment in my life where you go, oh, you need therapy. And you were the first person in my life to go, try therapy as an adult.
Yeah.
And I was like,
was
nah.
That at CB's?
Yeah, it was
you
upstairs.
You didn't tell that story, yeah.
And we were drinking.
Yeah.
And you go, you know the difference between me and you?
Yeah.
I can walk away from this beer half finished and go home.
Did I say that to you?
And I go, and the second you walked outside, I'd finish your beer. Yeah. And you go, yeah, you need therapy.
Yeah. I remember the night, I probably told this, but I remember the night where I made the decision I was going to say something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever said that before.
I don't think I've said it, but I remember the night I was going to say something.
What was it?
I swear to God, it was Cabin.
Yeah.
It was...
kicking open the door while you were pissing?
Kicking open the door when I was pissing, and then you puked blood, and then you went out and did the worm with no shirt on.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Don't remember
you
that.
You did the worm with your shirt on that disgusting floor, because I used to laugh about it.
I don't think I'd take my shirt off, though. That doesn't sound like me. I probably had my shirt on.
Maybe you had your shirt on.
Because, brother, to take my shirt off...
You took your shirt off at the Laker Awards, I think.
Nope.
No?
No, I kept I had a Queens of the Stone Age shirt on under my button down.
Somebody took their shirt off.
Graham.
Graham K, that's right.
He has a great torso.
Body, yeah.
No. I was never a pop a shirt off
but
guy.
It was that night.
I'm actually always impressed with that. Bert, I'm always like, dude, you can take a shirt off everywhere?
Yeah.
I can't take my shirt. You know how hard it is for me to take my shirt off around my fucking point, future wife?
I think he, in his mind, thinks it's like, I don't know.
I think he has an allergy to it.
Yeah.
He's like, I got an ear itch.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Do you think he thinks people are going to get disappointed if he keeps it on?
I don't know. I think he should go opposite and just wear heavy winter coats. Just go full opposite. Just switch it up on all these hoes. But I remember kicking the door open and you were pissing.
Yeah.
And I went around you.
Went around me like it was an emergency. You had to throw up and you threw up blood. And then, yeah. And you're like, oh, there's a little blood. And then you went back out and just.
Did a shot and a beer.
And I was like, oh, at some point I was like, I'm going to say something.
Yeah, that was a bad night.
Yeah.
I waited tables the next morning.
Yeah.
I brought people Mexican food at 11 a.m.
Because I had a hunch. I was like, you know, he's way too funny. This could be bad. Yeah.
Dog, when other people. Yeah. There's been.
And
some,
also when we spoke, you were like, yeah, my dad, my mom.
Yeah.
Cirrhosis of the liver. I'm like,
Daddy, don't do it.
It's like you had a ticket. It's like you had a ticket on a plane, you know, just going to death.
Yeah.
And like you were, you know.
And you don't even have to get on that plane.
You don't have to leave.
I got a first class seat. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah.
I got room.
Yeah.
I got comfort plus,
baby. I got Delta One. I'm going to lay down.
They're going to let me board a little early, if you know what I mean. Yeah, it was weird to see like which people
were going. But credit to you to fucking do something about it.
Yeah.
There was a whole era where a bunch of guys, Liz,
well, Liz
you,
was the reason I did it.
Yeah.
I don't think
Nate drinks anymore.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it without Liz.
Yeah.
Like, Liz doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Because Liz quit, and all my friends that quit drinking. Because I had tried. I had tried quitting for years. I'd try for a little bit, and then it'd be like something small, like Sean Donnelly's birthday party, or like Joe DeRosa's playing pool. And I'd be like, well, looks like I'm going to go get blacked out.
Joe DeRosa's playing pool.
I just find an excuse to drink.
Yeah, you're like, it's a big event.
He never plays pool. I got to play pool, and there's pitchers of beer, and I'm going to do shots of rail whiskey. But it was one of those things where all my friends that quit drinking were always like, it sucks. All you want to do is drink every day. And I was just like, man, this sounds like it sucks. And Joe List was the first person that was like, it rules.
Yeah.
I love not drinking. Yeah. And my life is so much better. Because he had already been like 6 to 8 months.
Oh, because he got banged up on booze. I mean,
brother, he was way worse than me.
Fell through a table, shit in his pants, got herpes. Best story of all time. Yeah. I mean, he's got some scars.
Fell asleep on a train. He's done it all, baby. It all. That boy could fly. If anyone doubts Joe List could go, I'm just letting you know. Yeah. That's what's fun now is seeing like the guys that like, I feel like a retired boxer.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, Shane will be like, it's like when they used to do like Tyson versus Ali.
Yeah.
Like, who would drink Tyson Ali? And Shane's like, oh, I wish you were still there. But I still take my pictures. Yeah. Like, I'm like, where you at? Ready? Ready?
Hey. You're like Ali like this?
Yeah, you come to my steakhouse and they go, good to see you, champ. I go, and they go, he took a lot of hits. Just alcohol. He's like, hey, do you remember in 1999 when you got blacked out at your friend Danny's house? I'm like, it is. It's just like tough to watch. You're like, oh, fuck.
God, one of my favorite bits is Stanhope, Jake LaMotta. You ever hear that?
It's the best.
I mean, it makes me laugh. So,
he does the whole thing. Stanhope's a guy where if you were to take a comic and be like, who is the most stand-up comic? Who is the quintessential stand-up comedian, lifestyle, jokes, everything?
Well,
Doug Stanhope.
I went, there was a period where I was going to see him a lot. Like, I went and saw him a lot because he did that special, No Refunds.
Here at Gotham?
And I was like, yeah. So I was like, I saw him like 4 times. And it was either like the greatest thing you ever seen or just a shit show.
But that was also...
That was him. But when we did a show in Syracuse and I opened for him, I was dating Jesse May and it was Jesse May, me and him. And it was just, I got to say, like the best.
Yeah.
The best guy I ever seen on stage. Stanhope, Patrice. When I saw those guys live, I was like, that's the best.
If you get the temperature right.
Yeah. If you get the temperature right.
It's the best thing.
If he had the right cocktail or whatever it is.
Dude, if you caught him on like maybe like a Friday early show and he'd had a couple, you're gonna watch like those Caroline shows where he'd come, you just stand in the back and you're like, this guy, Joe List said it's the best hour of stand-up he's ever seen with Stanhope at Caroline's.
I think the best I saw was of our stand-up was Syracuse.
See, I would say the best hour of stand-up, and we saw the show together. Burr at Caroline's.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Nate sat on that back wall and watched Burr.
Yeah.
And I remember the thing that we all said was we looked at our phones after the thing, and we were like, that was 1:10, and it felt like 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the one where the black guy got up, and he was like, sir, could you please not go to the bathroom during the racially sensitive material?
I remember that, yeah.
And then the guy's leaving, and he goes, great, now this guy's dictating my whole fucking set.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now I'm worried he's going to walk back in, and I'm going to be like, I didn't vote for Obama.
Right. He's going to miss the whole setup. Yeah,
and then he was talking about quitting drinking, and the guy goes, rehab is for quitters. And he goes, oh, no, you're like a fucking boardwalk shirt funny.
Yeah.
He's like, the man, the legend. I remember him going off, and me and you and Nate saying it back, being like,
that was
crazy.
He just got phenomenal.
Louis at Caroline's in general, I saw probably all my favorite shows.
I never saw him live do a long set. Ooh, yeah.
Dude, I saw Louis do a fundraiser for his kids' school.
But he's the guy that makes me laugh the most.
Louis?
Louis, yeah.
Yeah, I watched Louis do a fundraiser for his kids' school.
Yeah.
Back in the day, like 08, just fucking, you're like, I'm going to quit. I'm never even going to come close to doing any of this.
08 was like...
Season one, in between season one and two of Louis.
Yeah.
And he was like the beginning. Chewed up.
Yeah.
Well, he was already rolling. He did Shameless.
2006 was like Shameless. Yeah.
And then 07 or 08 was Chewed Up. And that was the hour where I was watching him go around the city, just hurt motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Just be on stage. Because that was when he had the joke, when girls go crazy, when girls go wild, they show their tits. When women go wild, they drown their kids in a bathtub. And that was when he's like, I want a woman with muscly shoulders. He's like, I don't want a girl. I want a woman that's lifted bags of groceries, had a nipple that's been chewed on.
Yeah.
That is like, I saw him do sets at like Rafifi, Stand Up New York for 10 people. And he was just everywhere he was going. He was just fucking murdering.
Yeah.
What sucks about Burr is Burr moved to LA right when I moved here.
Yeah.
So I missed what you and Nate got to see, which is him. Because him and Patrice both evolved at the same time.
Yeah, but Burr was interesting because it was just like a turbo boost.
Yeah.
It was like he was good. He was good. You see him around, he was good, but you didn't see, it wasn't like, you know, you were going, wow. And then it was like that special, and then that hour he was doing, you were like, it was like a turbo boost.
Yeah, you saw the hour on Comedy Central and you went, that was crazy. And then you went and saw the live hour, and that's when he was doing Let It Go.
Yeah.
That was when he was doing the, what are you, a fan? And you were like, this is unbelievable.
It was a turbo boost. Yeah. It was like, I don't think anyone saw it coming.
No, but that was, you know, you got to see Patrice, I think, when he was trying. I moved here at the end where he did Elephant in the Room, but he would like sometimes give a shit about stand-up.
I saw him at Caroline's the couple days before he had a stroke.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw him.
Well, it was probably his last show.
Yeah, it was one of the last shows. I can't remember which show we were at, but it was his last weekend.
Really?
Last weekend. Caroline's.
Isn't that crazy that Caroline's was the last weekend of Patrice, Bill Hicks? There's like a bunch of people. I think John Panette.
Wow.
There's been like a lot of people that Caroline's. Thank God they got rid of that devil den.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sin bin down in Times Square. Yeah. Rotting, killing all of our heroes.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Bill Hicks, in his book, American Scream, I think, he like says that's where he was like in too much pain to finish the show.
In Caroline's defense, I don't think it was Caroline's that killed him.
No.
Yeah, I think it was other things.
Yeah, I think it was cancer. Yeah. Patrice was diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes. Yeah,
and John Panette was beating.
He had like that hard, big stomach.
Party gut.
Yeah, same thing with Mike DiStefano. He had that hard.
And I think William Stevenson.
Yeah.
That hard tummy, dude. You get a hard tummy, you better fucking change up your diet.
Yeah, you can't. That food will get you.
But that's what I was always saying. It's like.
The road will get you.
The only thing worse than watching someone die young is watching someone get too old. And then you almost go, oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Jimi Hendrix. Fucking.
That's that stand-up bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He goes, it's good our heroes die early, so you don't have to watch Jimi Hendrix at the Super Bowl halftime show with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
His belly hanging out of his pants.
Yeah, John Lennon fucking singing a jingle.
Dude, Kurt Cobain, like, pushing for BetterHelp on the Kurt Cobain podcast?
Dude, I don't know if I should say this.
You can say it. We can always edit it. Perfect jeans, baby. It's summer. It's hot as shit. It's hard to wear jeans, so you're going to want ones that give a little, that breathe a little. You're not trying to wear hot jeans, but I'm telling you right now, Perfect jeans are comfy. They stretch right. They just fit you perfect. I just love them, dude. Also, they got the Perfect tees, so they're doing the Perfect jeans and the Perfect tees. Buttery, soft, organic cotton cut to make your arms and chest look better. Bottom line, the Perfect jean name doesn't just stop at jeans. Everything I've tried from them, like t-shirts, jeans, shorts, it makes me feel confident, fits perfectly, and balances looking sharp and like I'm lounging. The Perfect jean always has free shipping, exchanges, and returns. You can have peace of mind knowing that your order is completely risk-free. So it's finally time to start crushing your nuts in uncomfortable jeans. And by going to theperfectjean.nyc, our listeners get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges when you use code SOTER15 at checkout. That's 15% off for new customers at theperfectjean.nyc with promo code SOTER15. After your purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you. So go get your nuts comfortable in the Perfect jean. I love it.
That's
Adrenochrome.
Yeah, no, he looks phenomenal. I mean,
yeah, it's aging nice, but like going away, I think old people are scared, so they don't want to go away because they feel like if they go away, they're going to die. Like Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
Like Joe Paterno was like, what do you mean he's raping boys? And then like they're like, you got to step down, Joe Pa. He's like,
I was going to coach this year.
And they're like, you can't coach. And then he's like,
I'm going to die.
He just fucking died.
Right, right.
You take him out and he died. So maybe they're holding on so they don't.
Some personalities, I think that's very true for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's they some like, people can't just sit and appreciate a tree.
No, that's their consumption. Yeah. It's like, I got to go. I got to make stuff.
I got to go.
I think Trump's like that. You just see how he is. He's just like, what's this shit? You want to fight?
Yeah.
He's just out here like, you want to fight? And you're like, oh, because he's old. If he slowed that down, he's not going to watch a kid eat an ice cream with a puppy and go like, beautiful.
No.
That's what life is. He goes like, how much did you pay for that? Are you a Mexican?
That kid likes action.
Yeah, he loves action. That's what it is.
Yeah,
action. Loves action.
He likes action.
And by the way, that's the way fucking Hillary is. That's why Bill Clinton deteriorated so fast once he's like stepped away from like, doing all that Bill Clinton Foundation, he was like, and they just like start shrinking because they need the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why Obama has a production company now.
Yeah,
because if he stops, he'll be like, well, I made a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
And if I stop, I die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like Crank.
Yeah.
Remember that Jason Statham movie?
Yeah.
Where you have to keep going or their heart explodes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how it feels like the entire boomer generation is.
They don't want to just chill. Yeah.
They can't.
No.
Because in their defense, their parents scared the shit out of them.
It's also part of like American culture.
To I never think. Stop.
To just never stop.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's just part of American culture.
How do you think we got the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah. I mean, when you meet someone in America, I remember noticing this when I went to Scandinavia, and it was odd to me, and that's when I realized, oh, this isn't a truth. It's a cultural thing. Nobody in Scandinavia goes, what do you do? If you ask someone, what do you do? They it's weird to them.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, when you meet somebody, it's like the first three sentences.
So what do you do?
So what do you do?
I mean, you say that to strangers on an airplane.
Yeah, strangers. Hey, what do you do? Yeah, like, what's your job? It's like what we identify so much with is like our job.
Yeah,
so it's like it's our identity. It's everything.
It's capitalism.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, how you identify how much money do you make? What do you do? The importance.
Yeah,
and Sweden, they're just kind of like, and you are a father.
Yeah, yeah. We're here. We're just here.
I live in the area.
Yeah,
and you go. Yeah, but what do you do?
What do you do?
I walk to work.
Yeah,
and I work, and then I walk home. Yeah. And you go, no. How do you make your money?
What do you fucking do?
What I found
crazy. What's your value? What's your worth?
What I found crazy was Sweden was talking to us, and this is not political with talking about a political subject, how out in the open and in their face about climate change they were. Like me and my friend were like there in June, and we're like, it's a nice day. And they're like, but since climate change, it's too hot. And you're like, whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
Coming out a little strong.
Whoa, we don't even know if the science, but they treat us like we're crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm saying, like, I got that energy in Sweden and then in Holland where they were like talking about something. And they were like, before, they were like talking about climate change as if it is a thing.
Yeah.
Not as if it's up for debate.
Right.
They just go like, before climate change, the canals would freeze and we could skate on them.
Right.
But now it doesn't get cold enough.
Right.
Not like, we own you, conservative. They're just kind of like, I don't know. It's like a thing that's happening and we're all just kind of acknowledging it.
You're like, where's the dunk? You didn't dunk on me.
How do you make your money?
How can I dunk on you?
How do you? Yeah, that's exactly it. But how are you right?
Yeah.
But who's wrong?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What do you mean it's just a dunk? You just accept it as a fact?
Yeah.
And they go, well, then we are learning how to live with it. And you're like, no.
You're like, you guys don't monetize a disagreement?
Which news channel do you watch to get that opinion on?
You just can't. What's the point? There's no.
Do you think your daughters are going to grow up to look at 24-hour news the way that we looked at smoking in hospitals?
I think this is the first generation that's ever lived where I can't tell them what their life is going to look like, and I know it.
Yeah.
It's going to be so different from anything that humanity has experienced.
Yeah, because you love ChatGPT, because now it's like you giving you Nick's facts.
And you're right, dude. Some of it's ridiculous. Like, we're doing things, we're letting AI do things that we never thought, we need an improvement here. Like, when's the last time you were in an Uber, right? And you were like, this is cool, but you know what would make this fucking better? Is if there was no driver.
Yeah.
But when did everyone go, we need to improve this with no driver.
Cut that guy's job.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
I don't like that.
Yeah. Dude. So it's like, we're just doing it because we can do it. So I don't know what it's going to be. But it probably could have a lot of good effects as well.
Well, I think,
like robots that you can fuck.
That's,
which is,
if you think
that's when you know it gets hot. When the internet came out, everyone was scared about it until you found out you could jerk your dick.
But here is my problem, and it's the same reason I got gun shy with when they gave us those thermos pussies.
I don't know.
What are those called? Fleshlights.
Oh, you ever fuck one?
At Moon Tower.
Okay.
They gave us all one.
Yeah.
And so every comic looked at each other when they got the bag of them. Why am I going to my hotel room? And I felt like a serial killer. Shout out the old Radisson on First and First in Austin.
Yeah, because you're fucking a body part.
I was just going like this. Yeah. I had my dick over the shower. I was like, ugh. And it felt gross. It felt great.
Yeah.
First off, it felt great. Shout out to that Fleshlight. Sorry, I pumped and dumped. Sorry, I jizzed in you and then threw you away. You didn't deserve that. But
I never thought it is really like a very serial killer move.
It's just like you cut a woman's pussy off and you're fucking it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. My friend Matt Ross has a phenomenal bit about it, about having a Fleshlight. But my point is, with fuck robots, I'm too scared to fuck a robot because what if it cuts my dick off?
Right.
Those things are made of metal. They are without a doubt stronger than me.
But are you being a Native American now, thinking that
use the, all parts of it?
No, just oh, okay. go, all right. Well, yeah.
Another, I go, now
yeah,
I got to fuck the ear.
Yeah, no, but like, you know how they were, they thought if you took a photo, it took your soul.
I don't think, I that think that's a be. Bum rap. I feel like Native Americans, I feel like that was like African tribesmen and Native Americans got popped with that.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel like, look that up, because I don't feel Native, I feel like Native Americans would be like, why do you guys keep saying that about
us? Yeah, we didn't get a chance to get their side of the story.
They go, I don't know. Yeah. I liked pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go, you're dead. Yeah. Like, here's a blanket. But I think you're not wrong. I might be Chicken Little. Might be a little sky is falling.
It's going to change everything, though. And
we're fucking robots?
AI. AI is going to change everything.
Here's what I hate.
Yeah. Including our business.
Yeah, but when you and I hang out, you make me laugh harder than anyone on this earth.
Likewise.
Like, I get around you, immediate silly goose time. I have a fucking blast, and we laugh. These motherfuckers that are using AI for, like, to write jokes, it's, there's something like,
yeah.
You just,
it's not, comedy's there's a lack of humanity in it. There's a lack of humanity.
Well, there's, like, also a thing of, like, people need to be told they're not good at stuff so they can go find what they're good at.
Yeah.
I wasn't good at anything until comedy. I sucked at sports. I sucked at being an employee of any job that I ever had.
I thought you were a great waiter.
Shut up.
I never experienced it. I don't know.
Yeah, you did. You and Nate came by Dos
Caminos. We never like.
No, I didn't wait on you.
You never do that to a friend.
No.
You never. Let me tell you something right now. You never do that to a friend.
Yeah, would you go to your friend's strip club and make her give you a lap dance?
Yeah, you don't do that.
That's a power
move.
Yeah,
that's
you
fucked
and
up.
Nate sat outside the cafe.
I remember that.
That was the first time I ever got recognized on the street.
Yeah.
Because we were going to get something to eat in between my shifts.
Yeah. Do you see me now, Daddy?
Daddy Payne. Daddy Payne.
They know who I am. Do you know who I am?
You never dead, motherfucker.
Speaking of Daddy Payne, like, how bummed are you that your daughters, like, how do you explain your dad and your mom to them? Are you just like, yeah, grandma and grandpa?
That's a good point. Yeah, I just have to continue lying, which is fun. I have to continue to build this lie.
Because
I'm obsessed with, like,
is old enough to go, like,
oh, she's starting to ask questions.
But she knows mom's mom and mom's dad because they're around.
She's starting to put it together. It's like, when you have kids, it's like you're...
It's a love I'll never know.
You're just,
know.
Like, watching. It's a love you'll never know. It's like they're the dude in Memento, the movie, and they're just putting things together. I mean, wait a second.
Grandma and grandpa.
Mommy's got a mommy.
Where's daddy's
mommy? So, yeah, I mean, those questions are starting to come up, and I'm just like, yeah, daddy's actually Jesus. I don't have parents.
God put me in a virgin.
I've always been here. It's like, I don't want her yet to know that. So I have to keep pushing these lies.
But
how did the dinosaur bones get outside of the dinosaur? And I'm like, see, those dinosaurs aren't real.
Oh, yeah.
They're not real.
But Jesus Christ
is. There's no such thing as bones. There's no such thing. It's just fiction. It's a cartoon. I don't want to just go, okay,
you're gonna
we're on a ball. We're in the floating in nothing.
Honestly, can I sit you look her face to face and go, I don't know.
I don't fucking know.
And also,
I recommend you believe in God. It helps. Other than that, your daddy's scared out of his fucking mind.
Honestly, it's a little oil, but that is still a dry run. You go, and the gears, sister... They grind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to need you just to hold on.
Yeah. Here, I want you to play this video game Frogger.
Okay? Yeah.
And this is a metaphor for what your life's going to be.
This is it.
That truck is cancer. That truck is fucking a venereal disease. That truck is fucking AI.
Best case?
Yeah.
You play this game for 75 to 80
and
years.
And that's about it.
There will be a moment, though, right?
I know. That's coming. I know that's coming. I'm just trying to avoid the inevitable. I want her to get to 5 because she's about to be 5. They say the first 5 years... are like the most important for the development.
That's where you don't want to drop anything in the soup.
Yeah, you just don't want to.
They harden after 5.
After 5, it's a little harder. So, you know, I'm just waiting. In that 5th year, I'm just going to be like, guess what? You die.
Oh, my God. That's where my mommy and daddy
night.
Are.
I'm going to go, hey, guess what? You're going to die.
She's gonna
good
go,
night.
And she goes, where's daddy? Where's your daddy and mommy? You go, my daddy and mommy are dead, and I will be sued.
I'm going to go, hey, guess what? Every time daddy leaves to go on an airplane, he does like that.
He goes, and also, with recent cuts to the FAA, we better do that.
Yeah.
Double lock.
When I say goodbye to you, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to see you again.
But
have a great day at school.
If I don't come back, be an artist.
Just not a stand-up.
Not stand-up.
Oh, I'm doing everything I can to keep her off that fucking stage.
That's the new poll.
I hug her every day. I'm just like, I'm counting hugs. Like, yeah. 56, you know, 57, hey, 58. Yeah.
You're enough.
You're good. You're enough.
You're enough. Let's do the You're Enough song. You're enough. Open mics are for bad boys and girls. You're enough. You're enough. That's the premise, the setup, and the punch.
Now, what's worse, terrorists or comedians? Yeah. Comedians! Say it with me! Comedians! Comedians! Comedians!
Dude, what's crazy is I did not know Giannis's daughter went overseas as a freedom fighter. You know, backfired on
he
you big
told,
time.
Yeah, he told him Al-Qaeda was the preferable of the two.
I was going to behead her, but she is hilarious.
The problem is she is funny.
Is she?
She's like class clown. She's getting in trouble a lot. She's very funny. She'll do
and
things.
And you love
like,
it. You she, do love it, don't you? Dude,
she crawls on me. She'll crawl on me, and then she'll sit on my head and fart on my head. And nobody taught her that. She
instinctively
knows that that's hilarious.
She
instinctively knows that it's funny to fart on my head.
She's learning.
Yeah.
She's becoming
the way. Yeah.
Aware. Snatch the pee out of my hand, yeah. And she spits in your hand. You go, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You might be perfect. Yeah, dude, that's going to be.
Yeah.
Does she know that you're a comedian?
She does know.
Well, how does she know that?
It was like explain, like, you know, I go away, I get on planes. This is what daddy does. Mommy told her. She doesn't understand it yet.
I would kill to interview your daughter right now. Yeah. Like, what does your daddy do? And she goes, he looks at society through a lens. And you go like, oh, you get this way more than I thought you were going to get this. She goes, he takes nuance to subtly break down societal norms.
He's a satirist.
He's a pontificator,
he's a
satirist, I would call him.
You know, he goes, that's, he likes to harangue other adults and try to.
Would it be worse for you, and we're not judging anybody, but would it be worse for you if your daughter later, maybe 22, 23 years old, is it worse that she comes out as a lesbian or as a comedian?
Comedian.
Yeah.
Comedian.
Yeah. Because by the way, lesbian will be comedian. Like standard. Yeah. Flow, but
I'm gonna.
It'll be crazier if she's straight.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to just condition her for as long as possible that there are no women who do comedy.
Oh.
I'm just gonna go, this is just a male thing.
Yeah, but then that could really destroy your relationship.
Like,
she
like
finds
football, you know, it's just for guys.
She finds Maria Bamford's unwanted thought syndrome that could ruin your relationship.
I'm only gonna be able to keep it for so long before if she turns on. Her mother's watching Nikki Glaser host the Emmys or something like that. She just has that moment, and then
she goes,
I'm like,
"Dad was fucking." It all plays back in her head like the end of a movie. This motherfucker!
And
now
that gives her the motivation because she hates me so much that she's
gonna
prove it.
She creates
it.
A character called Maurice.
Yeah,
and it all comes fucking full circle. And that, my friends,
and I'm also very aware that like I'm maybe being too good of a father, and this may not make her successful. You know,
why do you think that?
Well, because everyone I know who's extremely successful in this country is highly damaged. I've never met someone who's just like, yeah, my family life was great.
Because,
you know, it's like Steve Jobs, like, yeah, I was left in a basket outside. I'm Iranian or something. Yeah. My daughter, every time she looks at an iPhone, she gets triggered. She has a Samsung. Yeah. Can you imagine his daughter going, this is the thing he didn't pay attention for before.
This is what he developed instead of me.
She was a fucking Samsung customer.
Yeah, it's so
daughter.
Funny.
Yeah, oh my God. Even when her friend pulls it out, she's like, put that thing
in. Oh my God, no! All humans are like, hoses with the water running out, and
this
then
is
trauma.
When your Indian side comes out,
and then
all humans are
leak water like a side hose in the suburb. But if you put your thumb over the spigot, success comes. That's all it is. You're just bending the hose. Yeah. Trauma's going like, and you just shoot it fucking harder.
That's right.
So it goes farther.
So that's what. Yeah. Sometimes I'm going like, does everyone need a little?
Yeah, everyone needs a little thumb over the hose to go like.
And you know what? You're right. Like, life will do it. You don't have to do it as a parent. Life
Trust
will
me,
do it.
Everyone catches these hands.
Yeah. That's everyone. What life says. Yeah, everyone's going to catch
if life's walking around going, you think I ain't going to tune up everybody in here? You're like, what are you? Oh, you had a good? And you go like, God, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes he beats you up when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gets you when you're an adult. Yeah. But trust me, God and life, they're going to fucking beat the piss out of you.
Oh, it will. You will. There will be a time where you seriously consider being a Buddhist.
Yeah, well, that's why you always look at, like, whenever I see someone being like, using someone as an example of like, look at their life, blah, blah, blah. You go, you have no fucking clue what's actually going on in that. You're seeing the outside. You're picture ready.
Yeah.
You know, when you're online, everyone's like, someone put that out. Yeah. You're not seeing the real shit of them going home being like, fuck all this. Yeah. And then you're like, whew. That's why people have breakdowns.
Yeah. Well, people, you know, oh, sorry about that.
Just being a dad.
From the bank, too. Chase, what do they want?
Might be fake.
If you're, and I feel like if you're envying or you have envy or you're jealous, it's actually a self-hate. Yeah. I think it's a form of self-hate.
100%.
Yeah. You're actually, it's not even about the person. It's just something you have to work out about yourself that you don't like, and you have to look at that and love yourself. Self-hate.
Yeah. I had a friend that said it very concisely where she was like, whenever somebody does something that annoys you, go work on that in yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's why it's like upsetting you, because they're doing something that annoys you. So you should go change that about yourself.
Yeah, I think actually that's like one of Carl Jung's kind of like staples.
Yeah. That's like a
whatever irritates you about other people.
It's coming from you. The call's always coming from inside the house.
It's always coming. The call's always coming from inside the house.
Because people talk.
That's a good way to put it.
It's so funny because, like, I remember before I ever did Rogan or whatever, I'd be like, ah, Joe Rogan. It's very easy to do that.
Yeah.
And then I met him and I'm like, what a good guy.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And that's what it is with a lot of people. You like see him online and you're like, this fucking guy. You meet him and you go, he's a nice person.
Yeah. And you realize it has nothing to do with you. Like nothing. His thing, it's just...
Also, it's very nice to know most people are... I would actually say all people are not thinking about you.
No. No. It's our ego.
Briefly. Yeah. Very briefly.
Very, very briefly.
And the ones that you're married to sometimes are thinking about you a little bit more than other people. And but most of the time, it's them.
Everyone's thinking about themselves.
Yeah. And I had, like, when we were going, you know, when we were living together through...
Sometimes I'll see my wife and go, oh yeah.
Hey,
you.
Yeah. Hey, what do you got going on?
Oh, yeah, you're here.
What did you do this morning?
Oh, yeah, hey. Somebody else here. Yeah.
But she would hit me with that. She'd be like, I'm upset and it has nothing to do with you. And you'd go, well, that's impossible.
Well, with your fiance, it's just probably some game that she had money on.
Yeah.
She's like, it has nothing to do with you. It's the fucking Dodgers.
She goes, I don't know. Maybe if the Phillies could fucking hit. And you go, all right, I love you. I love you, bye. I love you, baby. Yeah, dude. I don't know. Knowing that, though.
The opposite with you. If you had kids, you'd be like, just be nice around mom.
I go, listen.
She's very upset about the Phillies right now.
I go, Raffy Devers is 1-for-3, and he needs to be more like 2-for-3. I need you to go into the kitchen and then back out, buddy. Bring me my snacks, because I can't step foot in there. Yeah. That's a goddamn war zone. Yeah, dude. Once you find out it's like every human is flawed like that, you just go like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because
that's a part of getting older.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people's problems are because they think they're the only ones with them.
Yeah.
So when you find out everyone struggles with things, you feel a camaraderie. The one thing people need is people, and that is what I'm skeptical about is AI, because we don't live in the moment anymore.
No.
We don't live in the moment. We're always like, you know, thinking about the past, the future, the phone, what news happened, what's going to happen. So, and we're never looking at each other, and we're a social species, so we need each other. Like, we're like dogs or any other dolphins. Like, we survive, and we've evolved that way. So this is like, this is going to cause, there's going to be some broken eggs with this omelet.
Dude, they're already saying, I read an article this morning that said ChatGPT is making people have delusional fantasies.
Yeah,
that
I saw that too. Yeah,
you saw that article?
Because there's a lot of mentally unwell people too getting on ChatGPT.
Talking to someone that's not real.
And ChatGPT's going, you're great. And they're going, I am Napoleon. Oh, fuck. Have you ever noticed that when something bad happens, you just deal with it?
Yes.
And then when things are good, you're like, when's the bad thing going to happen?
Brother,
you're talking about, you're fine.
That took me 38 years of my life to learn.
Yeah, I'm still learning it.
I mean, still. Yeah. But 38, you know, around like 37 or 38 is when I had that epiphany where I was like, oh, when the bad stuff happens, you just get through it.
Yeah.
It's worrying about the bad shit.
It's the worst thing.
That's why leaving us alone with our own brains, like, don't do it. That's why podcasts are popular.
Yeah.
And by the way, I get it.
Yeah.
When you're mentally having a weird day, I was having a moment where I was a little off this morning, and I just put on a movie that I already knew. And it stabilized me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck, all right, I don't know. I think I was just getting a little in my own head.
Yeah, you get connected to something or someone else and it just goes away. Because we're wired for that. We're just wired.
That's how
we survive. That's why we have the negativity bias, which blows my mind every single time. Because it's such, it's an obvious flaw in the operating system.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
you're at a show. 100 people are laughing, and there's one person not laughing, and that's the one you remember.
Yeah. You know? Or you remember all the mean comments, but none of the good
ones. It's the negativity bias. Yeah. It's like one comment, and it's just that's wired in us because when we were like in a tribe or whatever, like if one, you had to be concerned that everyone liked you, nobody was ganging up on you because you had to fit in a group. So it's just fucking hard.
You had to move and hunt with them and everything was dependent on other people.
Yeah.
They would raise your kids. If you had kids, they would all be a part of it. So it makes sense. And then now we're just by ourselves with little supercomputers being like,
your brain just goes just like, oh my God, I'm going to lose everything. It's just so fucking weird.
It's crazy when you, one of my favorite feelings now is looking at my phone and having no notifications.
Because
you just go like, just put it back down and you go, all right.
I am way off the phone.
You are.
I am way off the phone.
Guy whose phone interrupted the podcast twice.
Yeah.
Way off the phone. It's like, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Way off the phone.
Way off the phone.
Nah, fucking got it.
18, hold on one second. Oh, shit. They say it was great.
Yeah. How did you do it? Kids? A love I'll never know?
Kids, yeah, just, it was mostly it was mostly like going like, all right, I got to be here. Yeah, this is like a little weird.
What could they get hurt?
Yeah, I'm still on, but I've been able to scale it back like, so much. So I pop on and pop because I put limits. So what you do is you put limits on it. You just put the limit on it and just leave it.
But then I take the limit off. I go, what are you? What
well,
are
you doing? That's the part you can't do.
I know. That's the addict in me.
Yeah, you got to leave the limit on.
I have one more.
Yeah. And then you start it just when it goes off, then I'm just done. It's an hour because I was looking at that phone sometimes, dude, and I would see 12 hours and I'm going like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
Spooky.
And I wasn't even aware of it. And you're going that's my whole awake day.
You're not learning.
8 hours, 9 hours.
You could have read a whole book.
Dude, it's crazy.
You could read a whole book.
So if you do like an hour and then it's done and you're just done and then you just wait till tomorrow and you just leave it and then you just, that's
and
it.
And you don't miss much.
You miss nothing.
You don't miss
much. You miss nothing. It's all there the next day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, they've designed it to make us gamblers.
This is what MK Ultra resulted in.
It's what they did.
All the people that they tortured in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, this is what we get for it.
Yeah. I remember.
Phones that know how to keep you on it.
Yeah. I remember, I still love nicotine, obviously, but I remember when I was able to quit smoking is when I realized it was a scam, like they were lying, or like I had to know it was like, that's what got me when I was like, Jesse helped me when he was, because he used to do cigarette ads.
Yeah.
Jesse Scaturo. So he explained to me what they do and, and he showed me all these old ads of the doctors holding the cigarettes.
Yeah,
and,
be like, safe. You can do it.
And I'm like, oh, it's just a fucking manipulation and a lie.
For sure.
And so now whenever I'm on social media, I just remind myself that.
This is a cigarette
ad. They want us all on there. So what they, you don't notice how engagement's important?
Yeah.
So they're like, you're either going to be a content creator or you're going to be a content creator in the comments.
Yeah.
So you're all creating content.
Everybody jump in.
Yeah, because everyone on the comments is writing the comment to be seen by other people.
And they want
to
get likes. Yeah, they want to get the most likes.
And they want to fucking be seen by you. And it's like, gross. We're all manipulated in this game.
Do you think your daughter's generation tears down the social media thing of like, this is fucked up, we can't be doing this, or like regulates it?
I particularly think the internet is good. I think particularly social media is very bad.
Yes.
So it's particularly social media. Other things about the internet are great, but social media
is horrible.
Is the thing that's really
bad. If
you
took social media, the internet would be...
I think it would be great.
What a tool.
Social media is the bad part. Social media is the thing that our brains can't handle.
And I bet you watch this on social media.
Yeah.
Thanks for swiping up.
No, but podcasts are great, right? Because they listen to it. It's like... You know, there's no tricks to it. We're not trying to get you to listen or fucking...
Check out Factor Meals.
Yeah, check out Factor Meals when you get a chance. Also, BetterHelp, you know, everyone's got problems.
This episode's brought to you by
BetterHelp. Also, are you having trouble staying hard? Well...
Also, give me your money. I think there is... I feel really fortunate to be in the time that we just get to hang out and be funny with each other. That's like, and then I get to go do stand-up. I feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, we're in-betweeners. It's very interesting because we came up in a world...
With an industry.
Yeah, we came up with... And also just like live and then TV, limited amount of...
You know what? It mirrors growing up without the internet and then having the internet.
Yeah.
I grew up until I was like 11 or 12 before I had the internet. So I got my first 10 years with just no computer, like you would get on a computer to play like a game.
A compact presario.
Yeah, or MS-DOS, or you play like, you go to the computer lab at school to learn how to do paint or Oregon Trail, but it wasn't like it wasn't attached to you.
Yeah.
And it, I feel like it's similarly with comedy. We came up when it was like old school, where it was like, try to get a late night spot, try to get a half hour, and then try for a network to like you to give you an hour.
Yeah.
And then now it's like all those toppled.
It's just, it's a like free for all.
Riding a horse through a city where fucking skyscrapers are leaning on each other covered in grass.
Yeah. It's a free for all. It is. It's just a free for all.
And there are people that have zero interest in being funny and have all the interest in just getting eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
And they're going to fucking blaze right by me. They're going to blaze right by me.
Well, dude, when I talk to my fucking manager now, it's like we're accountant. It's just numbers. He's like,
need more downloads.
This is what the algorithm wants. Then just what you got to do.
It's Wizard of Oz.
Tell them to go reply to the comments. This is you got to get in this ecosystem.
I am the mighty algo. Tell me, what dreams do you have?
Yeah, we're all like, the most disgusting job has always been advertising.
Yes.
Lying to people about a product. And we're all now marketers. We're all advertising, little tiny advertising agencies. We're like, wait, what's the cover look like? Where the picture's got to be big.
The same way
title's got to be engaging.
The same way that the telephone used to stay at home
and
you would be out and move, and then they found a way to put a telephone on you at all times. They've learned us comedians to just be selling all the time.
Oh, it just turns.
Oh, you want to tell your joke? Sell this first. Yeah. And you go, all right, well, here's.
And then the thing I'm worried about the kids in this environment is like, we were able to grow, you know, in an unrecordable time. We were able to make mistakes and grow. Now, if you're like, now people are growing on the internet. So they're like, we would experiment in live clubs where there was no chance of anyone recording. Now everyone's like working out online.
Yeah.
So these kids are probably so scared to say the wrong thing during their process of developing and whatever kind of content creator they are, because someone could just snapshot that and then define you for the rest of your life with that fucking moment.
Yeah, dude, imagine.
It's crazy. And even with the relationships, imagine now trying to form a relationship and then she's got some secret group with a bunch of other girls where they're talking to her. It's like fucking nuts, dude.
It is one of those things where you watch it develop and you go like, man, I'm so glad I got to just fail quietly.
Yeah.
You just got to, because you, and you know, and to take a full circle back to sports, daddy pain.
Yeah.
They're doing it a lot now with athletes where they're going like, an athlete will get on and they'll be like, look at this 2013 tweet. And you go, he was 12.
Yeah.
You know, like they did it with Travis Kelce with it. Like, he doesn't know how to spell squirrel. And you go, yeah, it was like 2011.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not like mad at him for that. He's probably a kid. He was a teenager.
They did it to Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, I'm gay now because I don't want to play soccer?
Yeah, or something.
I saved that.
Or didn't he say like the N-word or something? He was quoting a rap song and he was like, hey man, I'm fucking.
Dude, the funniest one is,
I'm like a white basketball player. I'm like,
I have
this is my culture.
I have it saved in my.
Yeah, it's like.
That's so funny. I live this life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about that life.
I saved it because it makes me laugh so hard. But DiVincenzo, back in the day, he tweeted because he... Oh, dude. This is old tweet. He says, to my dad, I'm a pussy now because I don't want to play fucking soccer. It's from 2011.
Yeah, what was he, like 11? And you're like, look at him. He's a bigot.
Yeah, he hates gays. Yeah, and you're like, he was 11.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't care, man.
Yeah.
If you're young, let it rip.
Yeah.
And then just do an apology to her later.
Yeah, it's so crazy to think that I think everyone is almost has the mentality of a politician now. Like young kids are like going like, I have to always present.
How do I set up my life?
How I present well. Do
you remember those kids in school for our, like when... like those kids that would do stuff for colleges, they would be like, well, yeah, I'm like the head of the chess team. Yeah. And I also go do that. Yeah. And you would always be like, you're insane.
Yeah.
That's everybody now.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing those small things. Yeah. Like, I'm also doing this. I'm working with a brand on this. Yeah. And I'm doing that.
You're just like, don't see any of my flaws. I don't want anybody talking about my flaws or my weaknesses or my vulnerabilities or
That's,
I'm perfect.
It's like the band camp girl in American Pie. Then you find out she jammed a flute up her puss. Yeah. And you go, all humans are broke.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot that. Yeah. No one's fucking perfect.
Yeah. There may be a massive backlash to it from the younger generation. There may be. Otherwise, how are they going to have any fun?
I don't know, but come find me, dude.
I ain't gonna have any fun. But now it's like,
I'm gonna be old living in the woods. Come find me.
Dude, you can make cameras where people can't see. Like,
you have to do a sweep like you're fucking
the CIA. You go on Airbnb, you're like putting a black light on.
Yeah, if it's like Sliver, the guy might have six cameras watching you fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how we don't turn into some type of China-like It's just too easy for a power structure now to utilize technology because technology has the bandwidth to watch everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, because AI can do it. So that AI has enabled that bandwidth to like just be able.
Well, back in the day when it would be like a spy thing, like a camera, you would like pull it and then on the back, it'd be like, bleep, 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 bleep. You'd like see all of the things. Yeah. But now it's just like, yeah, it's that wheel in the Hot Wheels thing. And it's live streaming.
Yeah, dude, they can shoot something on your window that you can't even see that it can bug your whole house.
Just shows me playing video games going, Teddy, you want to do pizza? And they go, we got him. We got him being a sloppy fuck.
Can everyone just chill?
Yeah.
Can everyone just chill?
That's a good way to end that.
That's a good thing. Can everyone just fucking chill?
Guys, chill out.
Yeah.
Chill by watching Giannis' special right now. The link's below. Click on it. He's fucking hilarious. Filmed at the Mothership. That's right. Just released.
Yeah.
We're going to put this episode out very fast, too.
Thank you.
So go juice that thing. Go push it in the algo.
Yeah. And Daddy. Daddy.
Daddy Payne. Also, History Hyenas. It's back.
It's back.
Go fucking subscribe.
Daddy, I did the special. Is it good?
Is that good,
Daddy? Am I good, Daddy? I hope it makes you laugh, Daddy.
Cut
that whole part out. Did he pat me on the head? He can't reach it.